It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
In a sense, a wartime president. I mean, that's what we're fighting. We will be invoking the Defense Production Act. We're sending, upon request, the two hospital ships. They're being prepared right now. They're massive ships.
I have directed, as the president mentioned, that the hospital ships Mercy and Comfort be prepared to deploy to increase the nation's medical capacity. And we have also alerted a variety of field and expeditionary hospitals to be prepared to deploy as well as needed.
All right. That was a press conference yesterday with the president talking about invoking that Defense Production Act, and how that affects each of us is that we're going to get some medicine produced here at home. And we're going to stop this foolishness, at least in the interim, under the Defense Production Act. The president has the power to consolidate. Also, they will be sort of deciding what areas of the country need the medicines, the masks, whatever the supplies are that are necessary, the worst, and they have the power to make those determinations. And so that's what the president did yesterday. There are a lot more things, of course, to say about that, but if you're watching the news, you get a constant, steady diet about the details, and so I'm not going to try to cover all of them. How could I possibly? I'm trying to read them, but I can't tell you about all of them. So just watch the news and find out, you know, what you should be doing. You know the basics. You could tell me. I want to say that I had said for several days that where are the people's names? If this many people, by the way, 150 deaths as of this morning, 9,415 Americans or American people living in the United States have the virus now, 9,415 with 150 deaths. And I've been saying repeatedly, where are the people's names? Who are the people? How do we know for sure? Unless they tell us names, ages and their circumstances, because they always do that. Why are they not doing that? You've heard me say that several times. Well, this morning I have at least two that I want to just mention. There was a woman in New Jersey. Her name is Rito Fusco Jackson, and she died from the coronavirus. And then five members of her family were affected, and several of them are. I think one is in stable condition. One is in a critical condition. So they were together recently at a family event. So what she was 55 years old. So that's younger than most people are saying. And I'm understanding now, maybe I just hadn't noticed this, but it looks like coronavirus is much more like pneumonia than it is flu. They're now using the term pneumonia when they describe it. So Governor Ned Lamont out of Connecticut is reporting that they had their first confirmed death. It's a man in his 80s who had been recently admitted to Danbury Hospital. I think all of us understand, you know, pneumonia, by any stretch of the imagination, is always dangerous. And it's that's why people used to die of it. You know, 100 years ago, there weren't the kinds of the access to antibiotics that we have now. And so people died all the time. Pneumonia was a very deadly illness. And so this is a pneumonia-like illness, and that honestly, that helps me understand it a little bit better. So now, how is the media handling this? If you guys watched the president's press conference yesterday, you probably noticed hostility, hostility, hostility. So I just wanted you to hear just a little bit of an exchange with President Trump and a reporter, and this is what it sounded like, clip 8.
Why do you keep calling this the Chinese virus? There are reports of dozens of incidents of bias against Chinese Americans in this country. Your own aide, Secretary Azar, says he does not use this term. He says ethnicity does not cause the virus. Why do you keep using this?
Because it comes from China.
A lot of people say it's racist.
It's not racist at all, no, not at all. It comes from China. That's why. Comes from China. I want to be accurate. Yeah, please, John.
Please.
I have great love
for all of the people from our country. But as you know, China tried to say at one point, maybe they stopped now, that it was caused by American soldiers. That can't happen. It's not going to happen. Not as long as I'm president. It comes from China.
Yeah, several things, several points to be made on that. The hostility of that reporter was just remarkable to me, and this is becoming typical. Comedians were mocking the president, they have been, about calling it the Chinese virus, saying he's racist, xenophobic. You know that Chinese is not a race. It's a country. China is a country. And so David Harsenyi has written an article this morning talking about all the diseases named for, well, first of all, he talks about people. Hodgkin's disease was named after Thomas Hodgkin. And Parkinson's disease was named for James Parkinson. Those are the discoverers. And then, of course, there are many, many diseases named after places like guinea worm, West Nile virus, Ebola, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and on and on and on we could go. So this is, you know, it's not, look, it's not just silly. It's intentional. That's what's so scary about it, to be honest with you. The media is at war with this president and remains, even though, look at what's happening, and even though they still want to blame this on him. They call, the New York Times called it the Trump virus, as though he had responsibility for this, and now they're ridiculing him for calling it the China virus, and he's doing it on purpose, and I understand why, and I'm going to tell you a lot more about what we know about China in just a second, but I want to make a point about the media one more time. Just yesterday, a report was leaked to the New York Times. Shock of all shocks. And guess what the report said? It was dated last Friday, and it basically is a 100-page contingency plan on the coronavirus, saying that it could stretch for 18 months and possibly longer. So they and they talk about how the nation could see multiple waves of the outbreak, possibly causing widespread shortages of key goods and potentially affecting the level of health care available to the public. So the New York Times happily published that after it was leaked to them. And here's the thing. You have to understand that those are contingency plans. That's like worst-case scenario. That's gaming it. What if this happens? What if that happens? But, of course, they're gleefully using it to sort of just say that the president's not being honest. He's not, it's much worse than we think. And of course, trying to create panic. I'll read to you something that someone that I know wrote about this because I thought it was so good. While the report, the one I just talked about that was leaked to the New York Times, was intended for informed officials to look at the epidemic as an 18-month event, it was expected that those officials were mature enough to realize a report is designed to give all sorts of possible outcomes and not to be misused as it has now been. And then he talks about how it reminds him of some movie plot. He wasn't sure which one. When the reporters started to panic by leaking to the public, they report day after day and omit facts to make the public think Trump is a fool in order that he and the country might be harmed. They take up valuable media time with stupid stories which distract the public. And then from another person that I know, there were tweets yesterday that were notable. There were lots of tweets. But on this particular topic, yesterday CBS News White House correspondent made a claim. This is the claim. This morning, a White House official referred to coronavirus as the Kung Flu to my face. Makes me wonder what they're calling it behind my back. Shockingly, she refused to identify, this is back to the to my friend writing this, shockingly, she refused to identify this awful administration official by name as if the supposed insult had been part of some important off-the-record conversation. And secondly, earlier today, John Noonan posted this, referring to a video of Stephen Colbert, referring to Chinese virus as a very racist term. And so this is the theme, this is what they're, you know, you've been hearing it, but this is the sort of the back drop to this. That was a CBS News White House correspondent that made that first claim about having a conversation with a White House official who said Kung Flu in her face. But now we know that Viacom CBS has billions at stake in China, and they've edited content in the past to appease Beijing. So there's a tremendous fiduciary relationship between CBS and the Chinese. And that's the truth behind a lot of organizations. You know, the World Health Organization started carrying the water of China, too, to cover this up. So I just wanted to share a couple of those things with you now. I want to talk about what we know more about. I'm going to talk actually tomorrow a great deal about China with Gordon Chang, and you won't want to miss that show. But I want to tell you some things today that are so important. I'm trying to bring to you things that you might not hear other places. Okay, so this is from the London Sunday Times. This is a Chinese scientist destroyed proof of the virus in December. Laboratories were told not to release any information and to hand over or destroy samples. Chinese laboratories identified a mystery virus as a highly infectious new pathogen by late December last year, but they were ordered to stop tests, destroy samples, and suppress the news. A regional health official in Wuhan, which is the center of the outbreak, demanded the destruction of the lab samples that established the cause of unexplained viral pneumonia on January 1st. China did not acknowledge there was human-to-human transmission until more than 3 weeks later. And then revelations by Kaixin Global, which is a respected independent publication, according to this, the London Times, detailed revelations by them provide the clearest evidence yet of the scale of the cover-up in the crucial early weeks when the opportunity was lost to control the outbreak. Censors have been rapidly deleting the report from the Chinese internet. Kaixin reported that several genomic companies sequenced the coronavirus by December 27th from samples from patients who had fallen sick in Wuhan. There was a striking similarity between the new virus and the SARS, which was severe acute respiratory syndrome, that nearly killed 800 people in 2002 and 3. But the news was shared with only a small group of medics and party official, party meaning Communist Party. The laboratory findings were relayed to officials in Beijing at the Center for Disease Control. The information should have alerted national health chiefs to a looming crisis, but on January 3rd, the National Health Commission, China's top medical authority, issued its own gagging orders. Laboratories were told not to release any information and to hand over or destroy the samples. When a CDC team was sent to Wuhan on January 8th, it was deliberately not informed that medical staff had already been infected by patients, a clear confirmation that the disease was contagious. The cover-up was led by officials in Wuhan as provincial party chiefs prepared to gather for an annual meeting. The city then pressed ahead with a potluck dinner for 40,000 families to celebrate the Lunar New Year. Only on January 20th was it made public. In an interview with Zhong Nashan, a respiratory health expert who led the fight against SARS, that the disease was spreading between humans. With a population of 11 million, Wuhan was put into lockdown January 23rd as the communist authorities finally tried to get control of the spread of the disease. And now you know they are blaming us. And I want to get to this because I want you to understand this is really exposing the dangerous intent of the Communist Party in China. They are threatening to withhold medicines from us. Antibiotics, treatments for the virus, and mocking, you know, let I think they said something like, let the United States drown in a sea of coronavirus. So I understand also that they were intercepting at least one ship, maybe more, that was carrying, China makes most of the masks and most of our medications, as you know, and that they intercepted a ship heading to the United States and made it go back to mainland China. Now, that's just one ship that I know of. So, okay, I'm just trying to filter through some of this. This is from Josh Rogan of the Washington Post. The Chinese authorities are engaged in a full-scale effort to rewrite the history of the coronavirus epidemic. Some in the West might be tempted to dismiss the significance of Beijing's propaganda efforts, but they shouldn't. The ever-expanding campaign to obscure the truth about the origins and details of the virus is risking lives. There's a lot more to this article. There's also a letter going out from the Free Speech Coalition, which we're American Family Association is part of, calling for the investigation into China's handling of the coronavirus. I'll read you part of that letter when we come back. But I want to open the phone lines because I think that this is certainly a time when we need to talk. I've opened them more this week than normal. But if you have some comment, something that you've seen that you want to share, some question that you think I can ask, give us a call. It's 888-589-8840. That's 889-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Here's Dan Steiner, president of Preborn, a ministry dedicated to helping save preborn babies from abortion through ultrasound.
I sense God's broken heart over the issue of abortion. You see, he sees every little baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, and it breaks his heart to see when the lifetime that he has planned for them is taken from them violently so often.
Preborn is the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. By letting a mother see her baby on ultrasound and hear her baby's heartbeat, she'll choose life 80% of the time. For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds, and you'll receive a story and a picture of babies whose lives were spared. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Walter Cruikshank, Deputy Director of the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management. He oversees programs related to the development of offshore resources and balances these programs to be in harmony with our environment. Psalm 104, verse 25 reminds us of our oceans, which are God's creation. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things both small and great. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Walter Cruikshank in his work at the Department of Interior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
Gun owners in the city of New Orleans are casting a wary glance at Mayor LaToya Cantrell. The mayor signed an emergency order that gives her the power to ban the sale and transportation of firearms in the Big Easy. A similar order in Champaign, Illinois, has Second Amendment advocates across the nation warning that Democrats could be using the Chinese Wuhan virus as a smokescreen to crack down on gun ownership. Gun sales across the country have seen a dramatic increase since the virus outbreak. Many gun store workers point to the emergency orders as a likely cause for the spike. Breitbart News reports the Second Amendment Foundation is preparing to sue the city of New Orleans should they make good on the emergency order. It's important for Americans to understand that we must take prudent measures to curtail the spread of the virus, but we cannot and we must not surrender our constitutional rights for the sake of public safety. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Coliseum Guns, how can I help you?
From New York to California.
With everything rapidly declining, it's now or never.
To Colorado.
A little bit of maybe I won't be able to get it tomorrow, a little bit of uncertainty.
Gun sales around the U.S. shooting sky high.
They're like literal zombies. They don't care. They just want something. They don't care what it is, what, you know, make, model, doesn't matter. Just give me something. That's all they want.
The FBI says background checks surged to a near record of 3 million in February.
I'm afraid of what might happen. You know, if they go into martial law, they can't get to the markets or have food. They're going to resort to probably looting other people's houses or whatnot, so I'd just rather be safe than sorry.
I know everyone's scared right now and they're uncertain, so what you're going to experience is people preparing themselves. It's not a bunch of vigilantes, it's just people who are concerned about protecting their families.
Ammunition is also in short supply.
Ammo is ridiculous. About an hour ago, we got in an order of 6,000 9mm. They're already gone.
Owners say 90% are new buyers, including many Asian Americans.
I've already encountered people who tell me to stay inside, wash my hands, get out of here.
These panic gun sales are not going to cure anything. They're just not going to put food on the table for anybody.
law enforcement fears new buyers mean more accidents.
If you have one in the home, do you secure it safely? It's locked, it's inaccessible to anyone.
Most gun buyers only have to pass a background check. Not true here in California and 9 other states, which require a waiting period, 3 to 10 days. So for these people concerned about the coronavirus and its fallout, they'll have to wait.
Isn't that interesting? Maybe you're seeing that in your area, this rush to buy guns. You know, it's in various cities and jurisdictions around the country, they are actually not arresting criminals, and they're letting a lot of criminals out of jail, they say, because of the coronavirus. But that, you know, that increases the anxiety, too. So I want to read a couple of email before I go to the phones. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. This is from Lucas, who's a doctor. And he says, China is 50 to 60 days ahead of the United States in corona exposure. There is a standard bell curve to every infectious process in a population. China has leveled off in new cases reported. What they have done to contain the spread is working. The U.S. will see an initial ramp up, then curve over, but it will be a much smaller curve. The good news, we are 60 days further into heat. As we get into spring, summer, northern hemisphere heats up and naturally curtails the viral loads and spread. Taking the simple precautions of washing your hands, fist bumps, cough into your sleeve, protect the elderly and sick will resolve this outbreak like all others. So, yeah, thanks for that, Lucas. Thank you. I mean, we're hearing all these kinds of instructions all the time, but it's nice to have something that's just common sense. And I've read in other sources that, okay, I've heard two things, that the heat will definitely take care of this. But I've also heard, yeah, but we don't know about this one. We haven't studied it. We're not sure. So I don't know. You know, who knows what's true? You can hear anything. It's like these allegedly scientific studies come out all the time to tell us that, for instance, you know, artificial sweeteners are going to kill you. And then another study, you know, I remember, was it saccharin? And they destroyed the saccharin industry because they reported like exponential numbers of rats that were dying from taking, by way, what it turned out to be exponential amounts of saccharin. But it's all over the place with scientific research. And you know that when people do these research projects, very few don't have a bias. That's why they need a large sample and they need to be objective, like judges, you know. But a precious few of them are. So you just never are quite sure sometimes about what's what. All right. I want to, I think I've told you a lot about China, but I think I want to go to the phones and then we'll talk about more things as I talk with you. All right. Phone number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to Joe in Arkansas. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Sandy. Yeah. What I wanted to mention about China was that I remember reading in the Epoch Times several years ago that they had published a speech by a Chinese general in which this Chinese general said that the Chinese military and the leadership had done a lot of thinking about the best way to conquer the United States. They considered their various options, and they came to the conclusion that the best way would be germ warfare, that they would release some kind of very dangerous, genetically engineered, probably, germ in the United States that would kill off the people so the Chinese could come and take over the land. And I remember also he mentioned that they were working with Israel to develop such a bioweapon. And so people might like to look up that article in the Epoch Times of several years ago, the speech by the Chinese general. I forget his name, but that's something to consider.
You know, I think you might be talking about a thing that came out in 1999. And you can still get it. If I can find the name of it, I will. But, you know, Bill Gertz, I used to interview Bill all the time. He's a reporter for the Washington Times. I think he still is with them. He's an international reporter. And he has written about China faithfully, volumes and volumes, for years. And he was the first to alert me to the serious intent of the Chinese Communist Party in conquering the world, really, and being dominant, which it shocked me because I didn't ever think of China. They've always been kind of quiet and shut apart and on to their own, and I never thought about them wanting to spread their power beyond their borders, beyond their, you know, they swallowed up Vietnam and they swallowed up, you know, North Korea, but I didn't expect them to, like, try to swallow up the West. So that was a shock to me. But you are exactly right, Joe. They've been planning our destruction, and it actually is in writing for many, many years. And it's time that we got serious about what this, about what they're trying to do. And the president is. He's getting very serious about it. In fact, I'll read, I will read just for a second, because you brought this up. The president was responding. Maybe I won't. But basically, they're talking about, here we go. This is what Mike Pompeo says. The disinformation campaign that the Chinese are waging is designed to shift responsibility. Now is not the time for recrimination. Now is the time to solve this global pandemic and work to take down risks to Americans and people across the world. Trump administration officials are saying they are fighting back against the Chinese government's campaign for more reasons than just making China look bad. The reason China's actions are dangerous is because their censorship supercharged a virus that is now turned into a global pandemic. Of course, that's not addressing what you're talking about, Joe, in the way I thought it was, because you're talking about intentional chemical warfare, and then some people are talking about that. I would say that, you know, we have no way of knowing because they've shut everything down. But why would they destroy the vials and the research? Why would they just shut that out, other than we know that communist regimes don't want any negative stories. Everything's wonderful and happy in a communist land, and that's thus the propaganda. We know that through Soviet Russia. We know it through Red China. People are not allowed to hear bad things, and so it's typical of a communist government to do that. But it is a very good – thank you for alerting us to that, and I will try to find that and post that on our Facebook page. Thank you, Joe. Well, let's talk to Keith in Texas. Good morning, Keith.
Hey, Sandy. Great show. Thank you for putting it on.
Thank you.
I wanted to comment about your concern about the paucity of information about the names and number of victims, this sort of thing. And the other thing I was going to do is propose a new name for this virus. But the first one, I think that would be prohibited under HIPAA. You're not allowed to release medical information, and that would include, I think, the source of death for victims. And so I think the reason they can't release those names is HIPAA prohibits it.
Well, the only thing is, Keith, I just gave you two this morning that they did release, and with a picture of the woman, 55, in New Jersey. So I don't know. Yeah. I mean, that's certainly a good hunch, but evidently that's not the case, at least in Connecticut and I forget what the other, New Jersey, I think.
Yeah, they may not be considering the implications of HIPAA. I know our church had to change the way they communicated prayer list to the congregation. There was a legal concern, I guess, from their attorney consultants about releasing information prohibited under HIPAA. And so they had to go in and change that. They can't disclose medical conditions of congregants, without running afoul of HIPAA. Yeah.
Well, I think both must be true. So there must be some exceptions, but you are right. There are really great restrictions on releasing information, and so that would make sense, Keith. That would make a lot of sense. Thank you. Appreciate you telling us that.
The other thing is, I was going to propose to President Trump, if he happens to be listening in, instead of calling it the Chinese virus, because after all, the Chinese people had nothing to do with this. It's their government. We should think about calling it the Communist Socialist Virus.
COMSO
would be a good name for that, a shortened way that's convenient, easy to say. We just call it the COMSO virus. And also pay attention to the people who want us to go to a single-payer health care system. That's what they have in China.
Yes.
And that's what they have in Italy. And that's what they have in a lot of places that are being ravaged by this virus.
Yes. Yes, I think I have actually talked about the U.S.
with our more market-based medical care system is responding much better. We'll see over the next few weeks.
Yes, we will.
But
Keith,
we call it the COMSO virus.
All right. Okay, I'm writing that down. Thank you, Keith. Appreciate it very much. Let's go to Joseph in Mississippi. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning. I wanted to change the pace of the conversation just a little bit. I want to encourage people because of Psalms 91, 10, and 11. God is in charge of all I guess he called it pandemics or all sorts of, I don't know what the word is to use.
But, calamities, pestilence.
Yeah. And I just want to encourage other Christians all over the world to remember that God is in charge.
Yes, Joseph, thank you. That's a good reminder. And as a matter of fact, thank you very much. I want to read Psalm 91 because I think we can't assume that people know what it says. This is part of it. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways, because He loves me, says the Lord. I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. That's Psalm 91. Adam, actually, I think a listener sent this to us, and Adam wanted to make sure I saw this. This is a compilation of verses about fear and anxiety put together by Debbie McDaniel. And actually, we should put that on our Facebook page, Adam, because these really are very good. And one of the points that Debbie makes is that she has in her life been very fearful, and she decided to just start reciting and collecting all these verses about not fearing. Like when, you know, this is one that I share with her. I always said this in the hard times of my life. What time I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. That's the old King James. That's what I learned. What time I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. That's Psalm 56:3. But of course, there's a ton of them. Peace is what I leave you. It's my own peace that I give you. I do not give it as the world does. Do not be worried or upset. Don't be afraid. Just great verses, and we may even get into some of the others. You know, it's funny because I am not as afraid of a virus because I still think the scale is pretty small. 150 deaths out of 300 million is not very many. It isn't. It's too many, but it's not enough, I think, to cause the panic and fear that we're seeing. We just have to keep calm, keep our wits about us. There may be real problems in the future, real much more imminent threats, and this is a good practice run for what it's going to be like when your neighbors and friends and family members are dying before you. Others have experienced that in past generations. You know, the thing that makes me afraid, I confess to you, is the financial crisis pending. That worries me more than the pandemic because I see real danger there. And so I have a lot of anxiety about that. I have. And so yesterday when I was praying, I was reading these scripture verses, and Debbie's right. Reading those verses really calms the spirit. And I confessed, you know, to the Lord my lack of trust. For heaven's sake, hasn't he been faithful in the past? And faithful doesn't mean keeping you from trouble. It doesn't even mean it's a preventative for you getting the virus or the stock market crashing or your Social Security no longer available because the government is insolvent. Those things might happen. And what God promises is his faithfulness. He promises more of himself in crises like that. He never fails to deliver that. And I've experienced that in my own life, and how is it that I could so easily forget? I'm not sure. I guess it's what C.S. Lewis called the undulation of man, where they're so changeable, so changeable. We change from day to day. We're so confident. We're so filled with the Spirit one day and so weak and worried the next day. And so I'm just saying, people of God, let's rise up. Come on. We don't have to be afraid, and we need to be comforting our neighbors and friends. And that, I'm talking to myself here. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So thank you for starting us down that path. So now let's talk about, you know, what's going on. Phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
A trustworthy witness will not lie, but a false witness utters lies. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. While regressives in March attacked President Trump for not doing enough to end the Wuhan coronavirus, the same regressives were bashing the president's decision to ban travel from China in January. In January, President Trump banned travel from China. Then Joe Biden said, quote, "This is no time for Donald Trump's record of hysteria and xenophobia, hysterical xenophobia and fear-mongering," end quote. In March, Biden has claimed President Trump has been dismissive of the virus. So which one is it? It just shows how deep regressivism runs. For them, it's always about the agenda, Wuhan coronavirus or not.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shree with From His Heart Ministries.
How many people come to church and they're chained to a bitter spirit and all sorts of problems, chained to greed and selfishness? Even when they want to break free, they can't seem to break free. Worship Him and praise Him and let Him remove the chains.
Learn to break the chains forever through Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Gary Roby, host of Call to Worship, heard each Sunday on American Family Radio. This one-hour program will lead you in a special time of worship and praise. We will focus on God's Word, spoken and in music. Call to Worship has a different topic each week as we glorify God together. Be sure to join us at 5 a.m. Central each Sunday for a Call to Worship right here on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. There's been a lot of irrational overreaction to the coronavirus, and it may permanently change some features of our culture through government shutdowns. Now, God always brings beauty out of ashes, and there may be some good things He brings out of this crisis. More dads are working from home and spending more time with their families. More children are being educated at home, which protects them from the radical LGBT agenda taught in schools. More families are enjoying home-cooked meals. The pace of life has slowed for everyone. Students are taking college courses online, which may reduce the cost of education. Families are spending more time with each other and in Bible study and prayer. The Bible says God uses even the wrath of man to praise Him, and maybe He's getting ready to do that again.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Democratic operatives have insisted for much of Donald Trump's presidency that, quote, "no one is above the law," unquote. It's one of their more cynically hypocritical lines of attack against him, since they clearly don't mean that the rule of law should apply to their partisans, too. Take, for instance, Hillary Clinton and her long-running and thus far successful efforts to ensure that she and her entourage are not held to the same standards and statutes that apply to everybody else. To that end, the former Secretary of State is frantically trying to overturn a federal judge's order that she must be deposed by Judicial Watch about her illegal email server and its serial compromises of national security secrets. The question occurs, why on earth are the Trump administration's Justice and State Departments helping Hillary get preferential instead of equal treatment under the law? This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Our discussion this morning reminds me of something that happened a long time ago. Actually, I was in China. I was actually in North Korea on 9/11 of 2001. And we had been in North Korea all day, came back across the border, which is, that could be a long story, but let's just say very shut off, no electricity, no information, nothing. And we came back, and there was a group of about maybe seven of us, seven broadcasters, and we went to a restaurant, and we ordered our food, and then the owner came and asked us if we knew what had happened the day before. that America had been attacked, and these planes went into the towers, and he describes it all. And I honestly thought he was crazy. And I turned to someone and said, "Does anyone know this man? Is he crazy?" And so we had our talk show host from New York City had a satellite phone, and he called his wife right there on the spot, and she confirmed all of it. Well, we couldn't eat. Obviously, we took our food, wrapped it up, and we quickly walked in the dark up to the top floor of this Chinese apartment building. This is Northern Manchuria. And we turned the television on, and that's the first time we had watched the bodies drop, you know, from the towers. And I remember being on my knees just rocking back and forth because my children were back in the States. I didn't know if this was war, if I would, you know, what in the world? And so the fear was the anxiety, not fear of personal death, but the anxiety about the circumstances. And I remember us going to a restaurant the next morning. They were just, well, you know, we were sitting at tables, and I remember, too much to my shame, I could not remember the Psalms that were Psalms of comfort and assurance. And the only, I finally remembered Psalm 46:1. I was just like frozen. I like panicked. Where's my Bible? Why can't I, you know, why can't I bring to mind this? And it was Psalm 46:1, which is, "God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble." Isn't that beautiful? God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. And he has not changed. He will be an ever-present help, whatever, you know, form that trouble takes. So I just wanted to share that with you. But now I want to hear from you. Let's go to Kathy in Michigan. She's an ER nurse. Hi, Kathy.
Good morning.
So what are you seeing there in Michigan? Are the hospitals filled, or what's the story, Kathy?
We are a rural hospital, and they're going to the nth degree to ban any visitors, anything as such. I guess speaking from a nurse standpoint, I've heard them say nurses are terrified. The only thing I'm terrified about is the response that I'm seeing. People almost want to be diagnosed with it as a prestige to say I was tested for it. It is a virus. Antibiotics don't help it. Simple precautions, hand washing, vitamin C's, lots of water. The other thing that I'm not hearing in the news is that an exposure is 10 minutes with somebody 6 feet apart. You're not hearing that.
Wait, say that again. An exposure of 10 minutes with someone. What was the last part of that?
10 minutes with somebody with a known case of coronavirus. You have to be within 6 feet of them for 10 minutes to really contract it.
Oh, interesting.
It's not just a passing glance.
Okay.
Also, Michigan did just have its first death. It was on the east side where it began in Michigan. It was a 50-year-old, but they had comorbidities and weren't healthy to begin with. They aren't releasing names, but we did just have our first death last night.
Hey, Kathy, what did you think about, you know, I think it was Keith who said that he thought it might be the HIPAA restrictions that are the reasons why we don't know the names. Is that true?
I believe so. They would have to have authorization from family to release any of that. Absolutely. And just like we have people that call and want to know, are we getting any positive tests? Things like, we can't release that.
You know, I'm curious about something. Kathy, you're a medical person, mm-hmm. obviously. What do you see the benefit of, you know, I've even heard people talk about, you know, having everyone tested, all Americans tested. Do you think that's, what's the benefit of that from your perspective?
I think it's overkill. You do not see that going on with influenza, which we have seen amping up of recently with hospitalizations. I think this is a virus that has caused everybody to go into a panic that they assume, that if they get it, they're going to die.
Yes.
That is not the case. A lot of them will have it, never have a symptom. And then we were talking at work yesterday, okay, they're doing this for now.
what are they going to do next year when it comes back around? It's going to be a virus that's not going to be annihilated. Are they going to forever close things down because you might get this virus?
Yeah, this is
I'd rather honestly build up a natural immunity to it.
Yeah, and you know, and the other thing too, Kathy, another point similar that I made is that the flu, of course, is a different thing. I know that, but it kills so many people, and we have it every year. So, are we going to close down schools and churches and everything from September or October through April? Really? And have the government write out checks to people because they can't work? Really? That's not tenable.
The economic fallout from this is scaring us nurses more than anything, because a lot of them have spouses that are now not working, and who knows when they're going back. They have families to support. I believe there needed to be proper warnings. I love that Trump shut down the travel. That was very smart. But there should have been some basic education and not all the fear-mongering that is going on, so to the point where people think, I'm going to die if I get it. That is absolutely not the case.
Yeah. Well, Kathy, thank you very much. And we know where that fear-mongering is coming from. It's coming from the media. They're whipping people into a frenzy. They are misreporting. You know, they want to blame President Trump. It's more of the same. More of the same. More of the same. It's just disgusting, really, it is. And, Tony Perkins sent out a prayer response yesterday from the coronavirus, and I really thought it was just excellent. And one of the points that he suggests is pray for honest reporting. Christians should pray for those in the news media. Pray that reporters and journalists would accurately report updates about the status of the virus and not seek to peddle conspiracies, politicize the threat, or stoke fear where it is unwarranted. And that's what I would pray too. That's the part that's just driving me crazy. All right, let's go on and find out what's on your mind. Let's see. Let's go to James in Louisiana. Good morning, James.
Oh, good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. What's on your mind, James?
Well, first of all, let me give all honor and glory to the Almighty God and His Son, Jesus.
Yeah.
He live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
I just wanted to give you some insight on China. I've been married to a Korean lady for going on 39 years, October the 15th, sometime around 2 o'clock, give or take a few seconds. I've learned a lot about the relationship within the Korean people, Korea and China, and Korea and Japan. China has for centuries tried to take Korea. And
yes,
the three kingdoms, Goryeo, Baekje, and Silla, they had their intermingling, fighting, but they would stop, whoop them up, and send them home with tail between their legs. They never could subjugate Korea. They tried to do it when later on they took Manchuria and joined Kim Jong-un's grandfather.
Yeah, Kim Il-sung.
They joined him and they took Manchuria, and then they thought they were going to come down and finally take Korea as well. And the whole world come in and stopped them. They try to subjugate people. They don't rule. They subjugate. They are harsh people.
Yeah. Well, the Communist Party is harsh.
Yeah, well, even before communism, in the Song, Manchu, Kang dynasties, all these were hard people subjugating.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
would come
okay.
into Korea and say, I want 10,000 troops. I want 5,000 women. I want 1,000 pounds of ginseng. And if they didn't get it, they would try to send troops in to take it. So that's just basically about Korea, China. They're, when I used your thing, look outside the box, and I said, what is the name of that? What is the name of that manufacturing place there in Wuhan? Come to lo and behold, they got two. They don't have one; they got two.
Yeah.
So ain't no telling how many more they got. They want to rule the world.
Yeah. Okay, James, listen, I appreciate you sharing that. And we should add to that they did take half of Korea. They took North Korea and turned it in. It is a communist nation even as we speak. So, okay, let's go. Let's go to Cheryl in Virginia. Good morning, Cheryl.
Hey, good morning.
Okay, so what's on your mind?
It's Sandy, this comes with praying about accurate reporting. My experience makes me wonder if the government numbers we are given are actually lower than the real cases. I was one of those who thought that what's going on, closing the economy down, was a bit overkill for a virus where the large majority of people would recover. And so I asked on Facebook, does anybody know anyone that has this virus? And so finally a friend spoke up, and her experience had me a bit shaken. She said her daughter had just gotten back from Italy last month, and she came down with the virus. And even though the daughter was younger, she started to have breathing problems. She could not breathe. And so when they requested help, they called the hospital and told them that's what it was. They were sure she had just been in Italy. The hospital told her to stay home. They told her to stay home, even though she was having breathing problems. So they gave them a hotline number to call, and when they called, the mother called the hotline for her. The hotline number said they were closed for the weekend. So as far as I know, she was never counted, never contacted.
So your point is that you think there's more cases than they're reporting, right? That's your point.
I do.
Yeah. Well, you do know. You probably have heard, which would actually affirm your point, that they're going to be doing a lot more testing because the testing kits are the ones from the World Health Organization were defective. And so that's why we didn't use them. So now we're going to be using our own manufactured testing kits, and the numbers are going to go up exponentially in the short term because it's going to identify a lot more people. So you're right about that, Cheryl. Let's go to let's go to Linda in Oklahoma. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Sandy. I'm also a nurse. I work at a federal hospital.
Okay.
And we have pretty much shut down. We have canceled all routine health care exams so that we can see sick people. I did want to let you know that I did read a scientific article that said that the coronavirus was not heat resistant, so that it would be killed with the heat, and that was a good thing to hear.
Yeah. Okay, good. But that's what the doctor, you know, just as his email to me yesterday, that's what it said too, and that's what I had also heard. So it's nice to have it confirmed from you, from a medical journal. Anything else, Linda, before I let you go?
No, that's all. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for the information. Let's go to John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Sandy. I'll make this quick. I know you're short on time. From a couple of good sources, I heard that shortly after the Chinese New Year, the Chinese government and the WHO, World Health Organization, worked together to put out a memo that said that the virus was not contagious. But shortly before that, China allowed somewhere between 5 and 15,000 of their college students to come back to classes in the United States.
Yeah. So, oh, gosh, John. Yeah, I'm sorry. We are out of time. I'm so sorry, but we got a lot of that. Listen, the Chinese are up to their neck in culpability, and that's where the blame should be. It should not be on Trump virus. Are you kidding me? And I think, you know, we're doing everything we can to mitigate it. But meanwhile, don't be afraid, you guys. And we'll put those verses on our Facebook page. Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.